We do have someone that wants to report it and wants to tell you all about it. He is our frequent and regular guest, Dr. Wakezy at healthcareonomics.com. And he is at HConomics on the Twitter. And he's on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Doc Wakezy, it's been far too long, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How's your summer down there?
Well, I'm on the same parallel that you're on, bro. It's hot.
Hot and no rain. We finally got some rain here in Dallas-Fort Worth. It was a blessing, I'll tell you. It rained here all day on Saturday. So I don't know how long that'll last, but we'll try and get through till November with that. But it's great.
Yeah, it rained Saturday afternoon. I'm glad it didn't rain Saturday morning because I would have been out in it. But it rained Saturday afternoon. We've had some regular rains. Now, when it didn't rain, I think we went like 11 days without any rain. It just gets hotter every day. It goes up by like a degrees. So you start at 93, and by 11 to after 11 days, you wind up at 98 and 99 with heat indexes at 110 and 113. Brutal, yeah. Brutal.
It's too much. Well, it's a good thing that reprieve is on the way, I guess. And guess what? Reprieve, I think, is on the way with health care as well, or at least with health insurance, as we've been talking about before. President Trump has done something that I think is going to go down in the history books.
Okay.
Now, I could be wrong about this stuff, okay? I've been wrong before. You can ask certain people. But the bottom line is that an executive order was signed by the president last October that got very, very little media attention. Not anybody. Well, everything that he does positive, let's face it, no one in the mainstream media pays any attention to anything that does positive. And this is one of those events. Now, a little blurb came around about a month and a half ago, when the regulations finally came down on this executive order, and that made the news. But again, it went away very quickly. And I can't really tell if this is because the mainstream media doesn't want to give the president any kudos, or if they're really just too dumb to understand what's going on. And I think it's probably a combination of both. But this executive order is concerning, you may remember Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, who started all this stuff about association health plans. This is
yes.
The executive order I'm talking about.
Okay.
It is amazing what's going to happen. This is an ERISA-based, now ERISA is the employer-based law. It's this giant federal law that governs employer-based health insurance or health plans and benefits, really, in general. This is ERISA-based. It changes things around, and it allows small companies, small groups of like-minded employers to band together and form their own risk pools. Now, this is a little bit different from what's going on currently. People say, when I bring this up, a lot of folks say, well, gosh, you know, we've been having companies that self-insure for years now. There's nothing new with this. Well, yeah, there is, because do you know what the concept of self-insurance is, Mike?
No. We're not allowed to be self-insured, Mr. Wakezy. We have insurance company and government that takes care of all. You know, I went to the dentist the other day, and before she started sawing on my molar, she goes, "Well, we could do this in two phases if you want. So to mitigate your if you want to spread it out. So you know maybe your dental insurance policy is coming up for renewal." And I'm like, "Oh no, I'm paying cash." And she went, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and saw them all down and get them all done now then."
Well, that's the way to do it. But you got a lot cheaper than that the dental insurance thing if you can just negotiate a cash price. But what I mean by self-insured is that when companies take on the burden of insuring their employees, in other words, traditionally the way this has been accomplished is you have a company. Let's say you got Metachurch, you know, XYZ, Metachurch
yes.
Brick Company. You've got 100 employees. You say, okay, I can either do one of two things. I can pay a very high health insurance premium and have my employees covered down to a $20 copay and a $1,000 deductible, and I'm going to pay, you know, Metachurch Industries is going to pay a huge amount of money for that premium. Or If you want to go the self-insured route, then you can go and say, okay, I'm going to have, let's say, a $50,000 deductible on my employees. So in other words, my employees aren't effectively going to have any kind of traditional health insurance as we know it.
Okay.
So MediChurch self-insures and pays a lot lower premium payment for that kind of a policy because guess who's assuming the risk of that first $50,000 in health care expenses?
Well, the patient. MediChurch
Industries.
Yeah.
No, MediChurch Industries is.
Industries is.
Yeah. Yeah, MediChurch Industries is saying, I'm going to cover, my business is going to cover the first $50,000 or so of health care expenses. Now, that's the way traditional self-insurance has worked. Sounds like a good deal, right? You pay a lot less. Your company assumes the risk. Here's the problem with that, though. These relationships have been traditionally brokered through health insurance companies. So you just said it exactly what you said a few minutes ago. We don't have self-insurance because we go through health insurance companies. That's right. So by going through these health insurance companies, you're using not only their network, you're using their prices that they negotiate for you on their behalf. So that $50,000 can get eaten up pretty quickly if you're not careful. So let me explain the significance of this, is the difference between these association health plans. Under association health plans, what's going to happen is there is no health insurance company. The risk pool, you can kick them to the curb totally.
Right.
So you don't have to use their network. I mean, and let me explain the importance of networks. You remember I've said before many times that I'll bet your listeners wouldn't tell, or they wouldn't let a health insurance company tell them what to put on their pizza tonight. But they'll let a health insurance company tell them which doctors they can go to in hospitals. That's called a network, right?
Yes.
The ridiculous point of all this insurance business is you're paying, let's say the MediChurch industry is paying $1 billion a year in premiums to have this health insurance coverage. You're paying some company $1 million a year that they're not going to probably pay any health care costs to your employees for because you've got a $50,000 deductible. Why on earth would you restrict your employees to their network? It doesn't make any kind of sense to me. In fact, I like to say on Twitter, et cetera, that, you know, guys or folks, if you're willing to pay cash for your doctor and your hospitals, your network just got really wide. Because, I mean, if you're willing to just pay for this stuff, then you don't need a network. You shouldn't work within a network.
Now, can I jump in here for just a second? Okay, Dr. Kevin Wakasey at healthcareonomics.com. You got questions about health insurance and about the current system is bad with all the warts and bumps and corruption. Healthcareonomics.com is for you. After Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, many insurance companies that had written homeowners policies, either they went under or they're going to get a bailout out there. They got bailed out by the federales and then they went under. So.
Right.
You're going to get State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, you name your big company, they would not write a policy. All they would do was honor the ones that they had already written. And when then they came up for a renewal, you know, when your mortgage or your escrow came due, they were dropping people. So this was a crisis. You know, now this happened in Florida after Hurricane Andrew, and it's
right.
How the JU, the Joint Underwriters, the JUA came about, the Joint Underwriters Association. We were talking about back then, Kevin, we were talking about, we had serious discussions about actually going to the legislature with this, about forming, what would you call them? What Lloyd's
school?
Of London used to be. And
okay.
Pulling our money together and self-insuring our own homes. and basically saying, hey, we're going to pull our money together and we're just going to buy basic liability or basic damage insurance from Lloyd's, for example. But we'll
it's
be
called reinsurance. Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, we'll be basically the insurance company. And then everyone will pay in. And the only way you would get a payout is if there was a catastrophic event. Now, the state ultimately intervened, and some other fly-by-night companies came in and just wrote policies. You know, No, all of us were praying, oh, dear Lord, please do not let my house burn down for the next 5 years. You can burn down in 2011 when State Farm comes back. That's fine. But not where why we have, you know, homeowners insurance for hurricane sufferers are us.
Yeah. And isn't it nice that the state got involved? The state had to say, no, Mr. Church, let's put the kibosh on your idea because we're in the back pocket of the insurance industry and we're not going to allow that.
Right.
Well, this is the significance of what President Trump has done. He has issued an executive order that says, hey, go check it out. Go do it. Go try it yourselves, because now companies are going to be able to band together. They're going to be able to work together. They're going to be able to form their own risk pools. Pool that money, use that money for health care costs, not health insurance administration. Let me give you an idea of the difference. I'm glad you brought up homeowners insurance. A buddy of mine lives in Florida, and he lives in $500,000 home. Pardon me. And this is in Florida. This is Hurricane Alley, right?
Yes.
And he lives in Orlando now. This is 25 years on from what you're discussing. This guy pays for his home. His home appraises at right around $500,000. He pays for his homeowner's insurance every year $1,300. Now, that's in a high-risk area on $500,000 home with catastrophic coverage. Why is health insurance, the same man pays over $1,300 a month for him and his wife in health insurance? Why is that? And it's because of all the bloated bureaucracy, the bloated administrative stuff. These health insurance companies, that's a whole other episode, how Obamacare's put them on steroids on their...
Right.
Revenue. But bottom line is, with these health insurance companies, they are making so much money. They're charging people so much money. It's unrealistic. He and I were having a discussion the other day. He's like, look, why can't we buy a health insurance plan with an out-of-pocket maximum of $500,000 for around $1,300 a month or $1,300 a year? And that's a great question. I mean, you're talking about the same kind of exposure. You put a truly catastrophic plan in place. That's what association health plans allow. Is you can tailor, you can custom design these plans any way you want to. There is no insurance company. There's no shackles put on. There's no network. There's no pricing. And let's talk about that. You remember I've said before many times, it's not the cost of health care that are outrageous. It's the charges. $12 aspirins, everybody knows that's ridiculous. Just last week, and I put this on Twitter, but this is a true story. Just last week, I had a woman call me. A patient of mine, and she found a lump in her breast. She said, I'm scared. What do I do? I said, well, we need to get an ultrasound on that and check it out. A mammogram is not going to be helpful, so we need to get an ultrasound, take a look at this particular spot and see what it is. So I said, look, she's a realtor. She has a $5,000 deductible health insurance plan.
Right.
I said, look, you can go and use your health insurance, and the charges is going to be hundreds, if not over $1,000. I have no idea what it's going to be. Or here's a few imaging centers locally that are not hospital-owned, and you can call these places and check out their cash price. But here's the deal. You got to tell them, I don't have health insurance. She said, I can do that legally?
I said, oh, yeah. I can say I don't have health insurance?
Sure. How you choose to pay for your own health care is your business. It's nobody else's business.
It reminds me of the line from A Christmas Vacation. Hey, Aunt Bethany, you should go in the room and say and tell everybody hi. I should say hi, everybody. Hey, you should go in to the doctor's office and say, hey, hi, everybody. I don't have health insurance. And see,
that's a fact. I'll proudly proclaim it from the rooftop because you get a much better deal. So this lady, and I found a few ultrasound prices online just for comparison. They were over $1,000. One was $855. Now, I have no idea which part of the country these are from, but I found some ultrasound prices in the 3 to 4 figure range. This woman texted me back after she had contacted these three facilities. One of them was $190, one was $160, and the last one, the one she chose, was $120 to do an ultrasound of her breast, cash, on the barrel, get it done that day. Come on in, we'll get you out of here, we'll get you an answer, boom, done. And, of course, she did. and everything turned out okay. It's just a cyst. It's not a tumor or anything like that. But for $120 versus $1,000 using her health insurance, not to mention, Mike, had she put this on her health insurance, guess what that does? It raises the rate. It's like having a fender bender. Nobody wants to put a fender bender on their auto insurance, do they?
Yeah, don't make any claims on any insurance because they'll raise the rates. And wait a minute, why do I have insurance if every time I use it, you're going to charge me more? Because so, in other words, you're supposed to buy it, but you're not supposed to actually use it.
Fantastic. That is a totally new concept, isn't it? Well, you'd think that people are getting a hint with the $10,000 deductibles, but they still want to use their health insurance. And I'm out here telling folks, do not invoke your health insurance. Ask for the cash price. You'll be amazed at what you can get. And if they don't work with you on the pricing, then tell them, forget it. I'll go to the next city. I'll go to the next whatever. So, but I'm not paying you that.
So, Dr. Kevin Wade Casey of healthcareonomics.com. And what is the app? If they want to download the app, where did they get the app at again?
Dr. W's Equation is my app. It's for comparing health insurance plans and saving you money. It's available for Android on the Google Play Store. We have the final Apple ready to ship the iOS version any day now, literally. Okay. But it's not ready just yet.
Okay, Dr. W's Equation.
Yes,
now,
Dr. W's Equation.
My friend David Simpson began using what he called a new medical plan because he has one of the co-op plans from the Good Samaritan Health Insurance or the insurance or whatever. But he started using a doctor now here in town that is practicing something that I believe they call concierge medicine. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yes. It's a little bit different variation on a theme, but basically what I'm sure your friend is doing is paying a doctor straight out of pocket. Now, what the doctor does in return, I'm not sure, but like me, for instance, I'm on call for my patients 24/7.
Yeah, I think he's paying a yearly fee, actually.
Yeah, my patients pay me a yearly fee. I try not to call it concierge medicine, but, whatever. It's the oldest business in the book. It's the oldest business in the world. Paying somebody directly for what they do for you.
Wow, imagine this.
So my patients pay me an annual fee, and in exchange, I'm on call for them 24/7. Like this whole deal the other day, I never had to see this lady. I was able to talk to her on the phone, get it diagnosed. I mean, all of it took about maybe an hour of her time.
Okay.
Maybe 2 hours by the time she had to go to the radiology center and get it done. And now she's sleeping well at night. Now she's feeling better that she doesn't have a real significant problem. But the price is the thing. And that's what people don't understand. And in fact, the health insurance companies are so devious, they're starting to come out now with this idea that they somehow negotiate you a price discount. One of the EOBs, one of the explanation of benefits that I saw recently says, member rate. So in other words, it's like by having Aetna or Cigna or whatever, you're getting this kind of a great discount off of what that mean old nasty healthcare provider wanted to charge you in the first place. The $800 gets cut down to $400, which you still owe because you have a $5,000 deductible. The problem is that you could get the same test for $120 without ever using your health insurance. It's crazy. So here's what the association health plans do for that. This is why, again, I'm very excited about these things. They allow you, in fact, they incentivize you. If you form your own risk pool, let's say MetaChurch goes and forms MetaChurch Industries Risk Pool, Association
yes.
Health Plan. That incentivizes you to go and act as your own negotiator. You can go and negotiate prices both before and afterwards with healthcare providers, with hospitals for the big stuff, with doctors and labs and pharmacies and imaging centers for the small stuff. That's a lot of work, but boy, it sure does beat paying those retail prices, if you will. I mean, anytime you're looking at a four-figure price and you can turn that into a low three-figure price, you're doing some good and saving people a lot of money. And I think these association health plans, as I talked about earlier, I think they're going to gut the health insurance industry. I think the significance of these things is they're going to take off and spread like wildfire. And in 10, maybe 15 years, maybe sooner even, we're not going to see anything remotely. We're going to still see health insurance. It's not going to go away, this traditional health insurance. But I think its days have come and gone.
Hey, somebody has a question in the chat room. Sandy says, I'm just curious if you can pay out of an HSA account while saying you don't have health insurance.
Sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can because, yeah, of course, because the HSA follows you for the rest of your life. Unlike flex spending accounts, which I never recommend, I always, I wrote a book called The Guide to Buying Health Insurance and Health Care. And in the book, I describe the benefits of HSAs versus flex spending accounts. The problem with flex spending accounts is they go away. It's a use it or lose it type scenario at the end of the year.
Mm.
But as I say in the book, on January 1st of 2019, the money that Mitter Church has in his HSA, his health savings accounts, becomes Mitter Church's again because it doesn't go away. So it follows you really forever until you spend it. But the bottom line is that, yeah, you can use your HSA. Just don't tell them you have health insurance. I would try to pay for every health care expense as much as possible. I take HSA
cash.
Cards.
Cash is
yeah.
king.
Well, yeah, but run it through the HSA, so
yeah.
it's tax deferred.
Yeah, and I don't have an HSA, but I know several people that do. And what you're basically doing is you're trying to stockpile. I think Senator Paul has, when they were trying to repeal Obamacare, I think it was Rand Paul, in the last Republican fake effort to get rid of it, which they never were going to do anyways. But I think Senator Paul was like, look, you guys know you're not going to repeal it. The votes aren't there. You're not even trying. So why don't we just expand the HSA so that people can basically become their own insurance providers? And, of course, he got laughed at. Ah, man, people aren't going to buy it. You can't have your own insurance.
Right. Oh, the hit to the Treasury, the tax hit we're going to take is trillions of dollars. You know, let's go fund this study of mating beetles. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. I have a hashtag that I'm proud of on Twitter. Well, two hashtags really. One is "Don't Stop Repealing." Don't stop. Congress should don't stop repealing all the laws that protect and prop up this current health insurance cartel that we have. But secondly, I have another hashtag, don't stop replacing incumbents in 2018. And that is both Democrat and any Republican incumbent who voted against Obamacare repeal or who is standing in the way of real change. Because they're all bought off. Not all of them, but most of them are bought off, Senator Paul being one of the exceptions.
Right, right. Well, there's a story at the American Conservative Magazine website today written by Jack Hunter. And Jack knows Rand because he basically ran his campaign for him back in 2010 and then wrote the book, The Tea Party Goes to Washington. Something else that Paul has done is Jack says that Rand Paul has basically single-handedly stopped the madmen in the Senate from trying to go to war with the Iranians, as if that would be productive. So
I hope so.
You know, when you think that, wow, it's just one senator and he can't really do much. Actually, one senator, if he wants to be a jackass, can actually do a lot, including stop an entire treaty. If he doesn't want that treaty to go through, just say, I'm going to put a hold on it. And he doesn't have to filibuster it.
I definitely think that Senator Paul will be known and throughout history, if history is written correctly, that is, I think he will be known as the guy who pulled the finger out of the dike on this health insurance fiasco. And it started leaking, and after that, it's all downhill for these health insurance companies, which is a great thing. They need to be whipped into shape either through the market doing its thing or through just going away. They're not going to be useful to people. They can just go away as far as I'm concerned.
Well, one thing is for certain with the insurance as the employer-provided commodity that it has become. Anyone that thinks that, you know, this is kind of the same mentality that we were talking earlier about corruption inside institutions like our churches, these things are institutional. And the corruption in the health insurance industry is the same way. It's institutional. The problem is because it necessitated what I call a paradigm shift, Doc. And once you get a paradigm shift and then it starts, and people just start doing it, well, it's no longer a paradigm shift. It's status quo.
The norm.
Yeah, it's the norm. It's status quo. We all know it's wrong. You all know it doesn't work. It's going to keep driving costs up to the point where I don't know if you go to the National Debt Clock page, but we have a host here who does it every day. And he went on Friday, and I don't know if anyone else saw this headline, but I saw it at Drudge Report on Friday. Did you know, all this glad handing about how awesome things are because of the stock market, because of Dow Jones Industrial, which has to be the most ridiculous measure of economic prosperity in the history of the human race.
Right.
While this is going on, while this, you know, all this euphoria over the fixed Trump economy, The budget deficit for this year is going to be the largest in history. Now,
Wow. That's
quite an accomplishment, seeing as how Barack Hussein Obama ran up a $1.1 trillion budget deficit.
Wow.
What's driving a lot of this? What's driving it? Medicare and Medicaid.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that the founders are very pleased that healthcare is guaranteed as a right now, such that we have these bloated programs that are really nothing more than social cost-shifting programs, robbing Peter to pay for Paul so that Paul will keep voting in people. This is not what the founders intended. That's why I say don't stop replacing these incumbents. I mean, they're part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. And there's some great independent candidates coming up that are running as Republicans, but they're more like libertarians. Kelly Ward is one in Arizona that I really like. I liked Austin Peterson up in Missouri, but he got defeated in the primary. But there's some new blood coming up that's out there overtly stating, we're not going to do it. We're not going to get bought off by the lobby, by the politics, by the political people that are. And that's what we need in this country. We need a refreshing. And you know what I'm very hopeful of, Mike? I don't mean to wax philosophical here, but I'm hopeful that the internet will be a sort of an alternative media source. I don't even watch the news anymore. I listen to you. I listen to some other folks I watch on YouTube. I don't listen. I haven't turned on NBC or any of those alphabet supers in 2 years, really. And
alphabet supers.
Yeah, I'm not interested in their stuff because they're just lying. They're propaganda machines. And I'm too smart for that. When I see through their nonsense, it's a tragedy. It's really a sick tragedy what's going on. And guess what? Healthcare is one of these stories that the mainstream media will not report on. I'm convinced that they are not interested in solving this. Because,
no.
A, I have a tweet where I say that if healthcare was suddenly fixed, then CNN and all these 24-hour-a-day news networks, they'd be showing I Love Lucy reruns after midnight because they wouldn't have much to talk about if the healthcare problem got fixed. Plus, there's also the angle that I think that they're benefiting. I think their tentacles are cast far and wide, and all these companies, giant big companies, are feeding off each other. And the money that's being made in healthcare is still pretty sweet in health insurance. So what people are being fed, if my conspiracy theories are right, what people are being fed is a bunch of hooey about health insurance and healthcare. When you have a reporter on TV that can't explain the difference between health insurance and healthcare, when they say, the Americans are going to get their health care ripped away by the millions, turn that turkey off. Don't ever watch them again.
Yeah.
They're lying to you, and it's ridiculous.
So go to healthcareonomics.com. That's healthcareonomics.com. And Doc Way Casey can straighten you out when it comes to the reasons why you should already be migrating over to cash payment services. Now, look, doctors, would you say that there are more doctors today than at this time when we spoke this time last year that are accepting cash instead of insurance?
Well, let me say this. Any doctor that doesn't accept cash instead of insurance, I got some things I want to sell that idiot. But yes, to take your point to where what you mean to say is that our doctors taking only cash, only direct payments instead of health insurance. And yes, that movement is called direct primary or I call it direct patient care. It's growing. In fact,
there's a website, isn't there? DPC.org?
Yes. Yes, there's numerous websites, and you can go to, you can follow me on Twitter if you're interested in finding out how to get in touch with someone regarding the availability of direct patient care positions in your area. They're popping up all over the country. There's a convention that's occurring, I think, in October, and it's estimated that 300 new participants are going to be there from around the country to take up this model. And it's one of these things where, you know, the ultimate health care coverage would be for you to just pay directly for your routine. Think about it like a car.
Okay.
Like a car. You just pay for the routine maintenance stuff that happens. You keep your car running. You keep it healthy. Keep it sounding good. That's what you should do for yourself. You'll enjoy much better pricing, much better availability. You won't have to wait for weeks to get a study done. Even MRIs. Remember, MRIs routinely around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, $300, $350. If you just pay for them directly. So you'll have better pricing just paying for the majority of your health care in any given year. Couple that with an HSA, a health savings account, that you can use to pay for those services tax-free. That's tax-free dollars, tax-deferred dollars, or tax-exempt dollars you put into an account to use for your health care. So combine paying directly with an HSA and with a catastrophic health insurance plan. Remember, I'm not somebody who says go without health insurance. I believe in the idea of mitigating your risk of having health coverage in case you get cancer or in case you get hit by a train. The problem as it exists now is Obamacare essentially outlawed catastrophic care coverage, except for the sharing plans. And I won't go into those today. We don't have time. But the sharing ministries are probably the best bet right now going that you can find truly catastrophic health insurance coverage. But let me tell you something. Why I'm so excited and why I wanted to talk to you today is the Association Health Plans, when they get started, when they come around, when they get finalized and worked with and tinkered with, I guess is what I would say, and when they become perfect, they're going to take the place of this high deductible health insurance, and it's going to provide you with truly catastrophic coverage for cheap. And that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. We don't need comprehensive coverage. We need catastrophic.
Okay, so what can the average guy or gal out there do to bring about or to assist in bringing about this change from the current system and the current model to the association model?
Stay tuned first and foremost, because none of this has really gotten off the ground yet. Secondly, be wary. Be careful, because any association health plan that goes through a health insurance company or network, that's not what I'm talking about. And there's going to be many of those. You're going to see these pop up. Look at it this way, if I can make an analogy. I get my power through a XYZ company here in Texas.
Okay.
But the power lines, I can choose from any number of power companies to get my power through. And some of them charge me this amount, some of them charge me that amount. It's like a free market, right? Well, not really, because all the power that comes to my house comes through lines that were put up by Texas Electric decades ago.
Right,
so
right.
They rent out these lines, these networks, if you will. So there's a charge going to them for everybody. Any company that I use, I have to somehow pay a little bit of money to Texas Electric, or whoever they are now, for putting the lines up, for using their network. Okay? You got the analogy? The deal is, with these health insurance companies, they have networks established as well, where they have 6 doctors in your area that you can go to. But there may be 20 doctors in your area that you can go to. The difference is, they're acting as though they're the power lines, that you have to use them to get health care. No, you don't. I mean, imagine if there were power lines everywhere, and I could just pick one and pick the best deal. That would be my electricity that I would buy. I don't have that, unfortunately, but with health insurance, I do have that. I can choose between my providers, and I don't have to stay within some artificially constrained network. So what I'm saying is, these association health plans, when they come around, initially you're going to see a lot of them allied and structured through health insurance companies and health insurance networks and health insurance prices. If Aetna, Cigna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Humana, United Healthcare are administering your association health plan, you ain't got an association.
You don't have an association health plan.
That's my point.
You have one in name only. They called it that, but it's really, there's no difference. See, that's why you got to know these things, folks. It's so easy to get scammed. It really is. I always reckon it that, look, if somebody tells, if an employer tells you, or if the way a job is usually described is, well, what does it pay? The second question is, well, what benefits do you get? I always say, you get the benefit of not being on the street shaking cans for food. That's the benefit you get. You're not groveling for your next meal. Isn't that enough?
No, I mean, we can help insurance benefits.
Yeah, we know. In other words, you mean, now, this is just part of the language, but this should be called deferred salary. Because it would have been paid to you. Right. Instead, it was deferred. It was directed away from you.
Yeah,
to,
so diverted salary. How's that?
Yeah, diverted salary. Yeah, they diverted your salary. They called it a benefit, and they diverted it to Aetna, to Cigna, to whoever, and deprived you. Number one, deprived you of the responsibility that you should have, because it is your health, after all. We're not in a collective. You are required to care for yourself and for your own children, so it deprived you of that responsibility and that duty, number one, which I think is a detriment to all of civilization. And number two, they directed your income into something that is managed by that government you claim to despise, and it doesn't do anything well. So do you think it's going to manage your health insurance well? You know, I think a lot of people...
For your health?
Well, you're rising in popularity in Twitter because you have people now that are coming to the realization after they get their renewal policies. You go, wait a minute. Whoa. You mean it's going to... With my employer subsidy or whatever, it's going to cost me in a... You want $780 a month?
To have an artificially constrained network. You pay someone $780 a month, so you have to go see their GI specialist. It's insanity. It is insanity. And then you have to pay their prices for whatever they negotiate. It's not what you can negotiate. So it's time to get off this, folks. I mean, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. I think that, the employer mandate is not going away. The individual mandate did go away. So that's some relief to people across the U.S. beginning next January. But I would encourage folks to really look at their options, really start making a fuss about it online and in the press and in their social and family groups, churches, etc. Everybody needs to be up in arms about this fact that, hey, look, the gig is up. We're paying all this money to have this insurance company tell us what, where, and when we can get our stuff, our healthcare-related stuff.
Yeah, here's a flaming hoop. Here's a flaming hoop of fire. Jump through it.
and the ultimate irony is we're not talking about the set of teacups that you want to put on your shelf to look best for your 50th anniversary. We're talking about your health. We're talking about the most important thing that you have is your health. And if you don't believe me, the next time you have a sore throat and are laid up in bed for a couple of days, don't tell me you feel like you're dying. I mean, your health is the most important thing that you have concerning your own body. And yet we turn over all these decisions to it, to these third parties that get to tell us which doctors we can see, et cetera. And in the meantime, they're not covering you. They're not covering your doctor visits. It's not about a $5 copay anymore, folks. You're paying a lot of money to have a lot of exposure, and you have to work within the rules of some third party. Association health plans are going to change that, I believe, radically. Once they're done, and once they're done correctly,
so do you,
without the health insurance involvement. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Before you go, do you have a suggestion of an association health plan, or where someone may go to get information about an association health plan? Just go to healthcareonomics.com.
Well, follow Dr. Paul, follow Senator Rand Paul. He's the legislator who's taken this by the horns and who's steering it. You can find that information there.
Okay.
I am personally involved in the development of an association health plan, and we are finalizing negotiations with a group of employers. I won't say where just yet, But we're working out the details to try and get this group of about 20,000 employees covered. I and a partner of mine are involved in this. And we're hoping that by the end of this month, maybe next month sometime, we'll have some ability to announce some news on it. So if you want information, follow me, because we're going to do it right. We're kicking the health insurance companies to the curb. And we're going to do this the right way.
All right. So you can follow him on Twitter. He is at HCnomics, right?
HConomics. HConomics.
Yeah, HConomics on Twitter. And the website is healthcareonomics.com. And someday, my prince will come. Someday, Doc Wakasey will boil the strokes of genius of his down into 2 and 3 minute little video clips that we'll take the audio version of them and play them here on a regular basis here on the Crusade Channel. All right, brother, I know you got to get to doctoring. Thanks for your time, and keep up the fight.
Thank you, Mitter Church. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Kevin Wakasey. Again, find him at healthcareonomics.com.